All right, let's continue with more 700 WLW.
Big problems today with the looming fiscal cliff. I guess in February or March, we got another one coming up. We got huge deficits as far as the eye can see. America has something like 750 military bases in 125 different countries all over the world. Every day we borrow $4 billion that we don't have to fund the lifestyle that we're going to pass on to future generations. What would George Washington do today?
Well, you know what? We did a lot of research. Mike Duncan and I wrote this book called The New Founders, and it's thenewfounders.net, www.thenewfounders.net. And we looked into that very closely, and we saw that George Washington, you know, he's known for being kind of an isolationist, but we didn't see that completely in his view either. George Washington would believe that internationally we need to keep with our good allies, meaning Britain, meaning Israel, meaning Canada, and not waver from that. On the domestic side, Washington was frugal. He wouldn't have wanted. He believed that debt is not good, but when you need it, it needs to be handled very prudently. And, you know, these guys were so logical and so sensible. You know, they would have, and Jefferson and the rest of them, including Madison, they believed that you'd run the country like you would your family. And, you know, I mean, you don't spend more than you take in. You deal with people solidly, directly, clearly. And that's how you not only can manage a country, but you can manage your family in the same way as a country. People are people, whether you're dealing internally with your own people as a family or as a nation. And you have to run your finances the same way. You have to run your relationships the same way. You don't give in to people because they'll walk all over you. It happens in every facet of human interaction, and that's what those guys understood. And Mike Duncan and I got that. We saw that they understood that people are the same now as they were 230 years ago. They act the same way. They'll beat you up if you let them. You have to be strong. You have to be clear. You have to be concise. And you have to stick to your principles. And that's what we learned from this book. And I think that we could pass that lesson on to every American right now.
Well, we need right now new founders more than ever before. Because,
yes,
Joseph
do.
Connor, I made the point that I believe in God. I believe in the Almighty. I believe in the afterlife. I believe in eternity. And I think there have been times in American history, going back 230 years, when we didn't have to exist the way we existed. And looks like we had at the founding of this country, Adams and Jefferson, and we had Thomas Paine, and we had Washington and Benjamin Franklin. Well, when it got to the point of the Civil War, and we had to resolve America's original skin, I'm sorry, original sin, we had, for God's sakes, Abraham Lincoln. And
yes,
at the turn of the century, we had Theodore Roosevelt after the assassination of President McKinley. And then during the Great Depression, I think FDR was a disaster during the Great Depression. But during World War II, he turned it over to the military. And we had George C. Marshall and Eisenhower and Patton. In the aftermath of the war, we had Eisenhower. And then we had Ronald Reagan to bring down the Soviet Union. I'm thinking now, okay, we got major problems that have the potential sown within their soul of destroying this country economically from within. And who do we got? We got President Barack Hussein Obama, Nancy Pelosi, for God's sakes. What happened? Is God distracted?
You know, I can't tell you if God's distracted or not, but I think that we've stepped away from God. And the founders understood that our country, our republic, could only survive if we lived a moral existence. In the book, it's funny you mentioned some of these people. Washington comes back and he meets the re-embodiment of his original founders, that they don't know who they are, but they've lived these lives like the founders, and they come together through divine providence in Philadelphia. And they meet Washington. They can't believe who he is, but as they get to know him, they realize that who they are and who he is. And one of the things that gets Washington early on is Abraham Lincoln. In the book, he's struck by the magnificence of this country, first of all, by Philadelphia, by the GPS in his car, by the women, by the buildings, but also by the races being together. And he says, "Well, God, we cut off the slave trade, It must have worked, and he's horrified to learn that over 500,000 Americans died in the Civil War, and he wanted to know who this man is, who was this Abraham Lincoln, and he goes, they bring him to Washington, and he goes to the Lincoln Memorial, and he sees on one side the second inaugural, on the other side the Gettysburg Address, and in the phrase, about in the Gettysburg Address where he says, we are conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal. He says Lincoln has brought that founding principle back, and Washington has a bit of a moral crisis about having kicked the slave trade down the road, and we equate that now to what is going on with our leaders now, who are kicking problem after problem from financial to worldwide. They're kicking these problems down the road, but we don't see any moral crisis from them.
Well, we have the same thing, because the founding fathers lived in a time where slavery was everywhere. Only 1/6 of the slaves came to the United States of America. 5/6 of them went to South America and to the Caribbean. And they lived in a time where this was acceptable. In fact, many times today, you have slavery all over Africa. It didn't stop. We stopped it. The Europeans stopped it. But the Africans and the Asians didn't stop it. It still goes on even today. And let me ask you this. What would George what were the debates going on in 1787 about deficit spending? Because could the founding fathers have believed, Madison have believed what's happening to America today?
No. And you'll often hear people say that Hamilton would have been for this kind of deficit spending, and that's complete nonsense. Of all of them, he was the one who believed that deficit spending was more acceptable, but this is not what the founders had in mind. This is not what even Hamilton would have even dreamed about. They are weakening our country to the point that, financially, yes, but militarily, how can we project power around the world when we can't balance our books, when we're $17 trillion. We throw around, 16, 17 trillion, without even thinking what $1 trillion is. The unfunded liability is $100 trillion. They would never...
Never.
I mean, it's unfathomable. And Washington, he's so torn in the book about that, because he sees, look at the accomplishments this country has done. He learns of Nazi Germany and Hitler, and he learns how the United States saved the world from, and he quotes Reagan often, from 1,000 years of darkness. But at the same time, he's appalled by this president and this Congress who allows this spending to go on, who's turns its back on his allies. And Washington faces them. And we, in the book, we have a one-man debate before Clint Eastwood did it. We wrote this part, and the Barack Obama character refuses to debate him at first, and Washington cleans his clock using his own words against him about how he treats his allies and subjugates our own people. So we hit directly on these issues, and I wish that Romney had taken a look at the book, because the thing is, he was clear. These guys were clear. I mean, they fought like cats and dogs amongst each other, very similar to the politicians today vying for position. However, they believed in putting the country above political parties, and they believed in keeping with our allies and the no nonsense. I call it in the book, he's throwing fastballs. You go to a baseball game to watch a pitcher bring the heat, right? Yeah. You don't go to watch someone nibbling around with curveballs and screwballs, as we're getting from our politicians now. So Washington was he at one point he meets the Republicans, and they want him to give up on some of his principles, and he just won't do it. He says, I won't do that. You're going to need me when I need you.
Joseph Connor, look at it this way. We had giants. We now have Lilliputians. But let me – it's too easy for conservatives and for normal Americans to dump all over Obama. Let me give you this analysis. In the last 20 years, if we go back to 1994 until 2014, in that 20-year period, the Republicans – have controlled the House of Representatives for 16 of those 20 years. Well, we've gone from Gingrich to Hastert to Boehner. 16 of those 20 years, which is 80% of the time, Republicans controlled the House of Representatives, where constitutionally, legally, every dollar is taxed and every dollar is spent. So while we blame Obama, of course, his pen is worth two-thirds of the House and the Senate with a veto. But the fact of the matter is, Gingrich, Hastert, and now Boehner control the taxing and spending of every single dollar in this country because they control the House of Representatives. What responsibility does Paul Ryan, who's been the budget chairman for the past 3 years and likely for the next 2 years, what responsibility do so-called conservative Republicans have in the House of Representatives to spend and tax correctly?
They have responsibility, and they've failed us. They've been weak. I'm a registered Republican personally. I was a Democrat, and then I woke up at some point around when Clinton released the terrorists that killed my father in 1999. But we have become such a weak party. I won't even say I'm Republican. I am a conservative who happens to be a registered Republican. I don't understand. I mean, it's if you didn't have Obama pushing the spending, I don't think the Republicans would spend as much. But they have no ability to set up to fight back, to make valid points. And that's one thing in the book, too. Don't be ashamed of our conservative beliefs. They're the right beliefs. And you cannot waver and you cannot become Democrat light. It just won't work. You have to keep to our principles, because if you give them up, there ain't nobody left to fight it. You know, we're putting our trust in Paul Ryan and Boehner, God help us, and there's nobody left. I mean, it's you and me, you know? I mean, and we're very clear in the book about that, about this. We're right. And when we get in an argument, stick to our guns, literally and figuratively.
Well, Obama is very good. Obama is a great campaigner, charismatic, good looking. The media fawns and the media are stenographers. But having said all that, that's okay. He advocates a social democratic view of America. But where is Reagan? Where is Eisenhower? Where is somebody to say on the other side, here is the other story, what we're doing to our children, to ourselves, and to America? America will not fall from Al-Qaeda, from Nazis, from communists. America will fall from within. And I'm watching it happen right now.
And Lincoln said it, and we have a quote from Lincoln at the beginning of our book saying the exact same thing. We're seeing it happen. And, you know, let me tell you something. There is Reagan. There'll never be another Reagan. There'll never be another Eisenhower. However, we do have people in this country, Bill. You have you, and you have me, and you have others who are willing to stand up and take that fight. Now, maybe we're not crazy enough to become politicians because we have souls, and we have families, and we have lives. But that's what has happened here. We've created a situation where the only people who become the leaders are probably the least qualified to be the leaders, because they're willing to jump in there right out of college, right out of law school, to jump into this mess they call politics. They don't really know anything about it. I've worked in business for one of these horrible banks, or actually for four different horrible banks that everyone hates, for the last 24 years. I've learned a ton about how to work, how to manage money, how to manage people, and all those things. But do you think someone like me, and there's people way better than I am out there, they don't want to get into it?
No, I don't want
to. But there's such a silent majority out there, and who are just horrified and disgusted by what's going on in Washington. I mean, in the book, on the way to Washington, George has to go to the bathroom, and when he asks, having done his business, where it flows to, he's informed it flows into Washington, and he goes, I was afraid of that. So, you know, that's where it seems to end up. You know, in the book, we do make it humorous. We try to teach a lesson to people who are uninformed, who don't really get what our principles are, and they need to understand, Bill, that, you know, the principles that you and I were raised as kids, that's the stuff that the country was raised on.
Not anymore.
I think we still have that, and we are losing it. But my God, it's the only way to survive. It really is.
We have to run. The name of the book is The New Founders: Bringing George Washington and His Founding Brothers Alive in Present Day America, Using Their Own Words, Ideas, and Principles and Actions, and How They Apply Today. We don't have giants; we have midgets. And that means Republicans and Democrats. And once again, Joseph Connor, thanks for coming on the Bill Cunningham Show. And brother, we'll do it again, and God bless you.
Hey, Bill, thanks a million. And Mike Duncan wrote it with me, and it's the newfounders.net. If we can, you can link to it and get it on Amazon and the Barnes & Noble and all that fun stuff. Bill, great to talk to you. Take care, my friend.
Joseph Connor, you're a great American.